ADHD hacks that actually work. We are sharing them all with you today, and you are not going to hear any "why don't you just set three alarms" or "why don't you just leave earlier" here.
This has been hard earned over 5 years of trial and testing.
We are pulling it from the depths of our relationship almost breakdowns to figure out for you how to get your ADHD-er moving and working. This is the Late Bloomers podcast, where we are
getting our lives together eventually.
It's the ADHD hacks episode. All of these hacks have been learned by you having to figure out how to hack me to actually move.
What's the best about it is they're all weird, aren't they? They're all like just strange. You would never read this in a book.
No, you wouldn't. Little weird, strange things that forever, for whatever reason, work for our little weird, strange brains. I have got 8
cool
hacks, and I think we're just going to share them with our good listeners, give an example of how it's worked for me, and hopefully it's going to work for you guys.
There'll definitely be a few that works for anyone with ADHD, if not all of them.
I do agree. First up, it's not 5 minutes, it's 300 seconds.
Yeah, this one's crazy. Like this one just came, we were having a conversation and we were just talking about 5 minutes, and I said something like 5 minutes is 5 minutes, you know, so 300 seconds, and you were like, what? And it just feels different internally to you, doesn't it? 5 minutes feels like, oh, I can do my makeup, have a quick shower, have a quick bit of a scroll. The 300 seconds, it's like you get a visual of a countdown.
That's it. I can't imagine 5 minutes. 5 minutes is this nondescript amount of time that's a fairly decent chunk. Need to leave soon, but I can fit a few things in. 300 seconds. The countdown is on. 299, 298. I need to be up. I need to be moving. I'm panicking. It has changed the way we leave the house.
Yeah.
And it's changed the way that I use 5 minutes. So it's like a bit of a cliche, but ADHD is like, oh, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I've stopped saying that because I now understand that is 300 seconds. That is not a lot of time.
Yeah.
The reason why ADHDers struggle with 5 minutes is time blindness, right?
Yeah.
So time blindness is not really knowing.
It's the concept of time, isn't it? It's not having any real concept of what you can or can't do in that amount of time, because it works the other way. Like if you've got 2 minutes to get to the train platform that's 20 seconds away, you'll be like, oh my God, panicking, I'm going to miss my train.
Yeah, so it's either overestimating or underestimating how much time something's going to take. And if it's something that we don't enjoy, like cleaning, we always overestimate how long it will take. Oh, it will take 2 hours to clean that room. You could do it in 15 minutes.
Like, well, we sorted out a lot of the junk room in about 20 minutes and you were convinced it was going to take all day.
I thought it was going to take hours and hours. And then if we love something, we go the other way and it'll be like, oh, it'd take me half an hour to finish this song. Eight hours later. So we're all wonky with time. We don't know what 5 minutes means. But if you say to your ADHD, we are leaving in 300 seconds, you might just see them.
They visualize a clock, a countdown, a stopwatch in their mind. Yeah. And they're in a race against it. It does work.
Blows my mind that.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. So that's number one, the 300 second rule. Use it. Enjoy it. Number two, the lesser of two evils hack.
Oh, this is cool. So like, shall I explain it?
Yeah, go on.
So if there's lots to do around the house, if I simply say, oh babe, would you mind unloading the dishwasher? It'll be like, oh, can I do it later? I'm not really like feeling
it.
Can I do it in 5 minutes? Which of course means never. Or if I go, babe, there's two things that need to do. I need to do this, the big pile of laundry that needs doing is probably 2 or 3 loads there. And the dishwasher needs emptying. Which one do you want to do? You'll be like, dishwasher. And that'll feel like a win for you, right?
And that is the key part. Now, I don't know what is mentally wrong with me. It's quite a few things at this point. But the fact that I need to feel like I've won the negotiation somehow.
Well, you even do it in tasks. So say we're both doing, should we do the kitchen?
Yeah.
You'll choose the things that in your mind give you a moral victory because it's the easiest task to do.
Not moral victory. This ain't about lazy victory. Like, I want the easiest possible part of that job. And that for me feels like a victory. It's like this inherent allergy to something that's difficult. So I choose something easier, and by winning and getting the easier thing, it gives me a dopamine boost so I can do it. Whereas if I'd only been presented with the easy thing, that would feel like the difficult thing.
Yeah.
It really does show.
Mind games.
It's a mind game that you play with yourself. I sometimes wonder, and I know this does come under more of the autistic spectrum, but we do see a lot of ADHDers talking about it, about PDA and like, what is it, persistent drive for autonomy. I wonder if that comes into it. So like, I need to feel like I've made the choice, I've won.
I think it's like pathological demand avoidance as well. I see a lot of...
They call it both.
Yeah. I see a lot of this in the ADHD world as well. But then it'll more be joking, like, wait until if you tell an ADHDer what to do or how to do it, that they'll do everything in their bones not to.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like if I'm about to hoover and you're like, oh babe, can you do the hoovering today? I'm like, no. Well, no, not now.
Yeah.
But I love the lesser of two evils. It's so interesting how it works. No idea really, but it does work. So if you need your ADHDer to tidy their bedroom, offer that someone needs to do the junk room and someone needs to do a quick tidy of the bedroom. I don't mind which one you do. Boom.
It obviously works with ADHD, but you say you don't know. I'm pretty sure when I was 18 or 19, there was sales training for this event. So it's obviously a psychological thing. So if you want someone to buy something, don't just offer them the thing, give them a choice and they'll take the better option.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's actually a psychology hack.
Yeah.
I love it. I also think don't use it all the time. You need to like mix the hacks in, because if you're always using the lesser of two evils hack, they're going to figure you out.
Yeah,
so you need to keep them on their toes. Hack number three, it's a classic. It is body doubling.
Ah.
The
phenomenon.
Cannot tell you how much body doubling changed my life. To know what it was, to know that it helped me, and to know I could ask for it. For anyone that doesn't know, body doubling is having somebody with you when you complete a difficult task. A task that you find difficult or anything. Yeah. So it might be cleaning the room, folding laundry, doing admin. Now this could be a friend or a partner that sits next to you. They don't even need to do the thing, by the way. They just need to be with you. Or it could be online. It could be virtual. We have an entire app. This is how much I am obsessed with body doubling. I've dedicated my life to it and built an entire app based on body doubling.
Yeah.
Just for anyone that doesn't know, we have an app. It's called Dubby, D-U-B-B-I-I, and we offer 6 live body doubling sessions a day with professional body doubling hosts.
But if you're not, don't want to do it digitally, it just works in real life.
Oh,
you've got someone that can just sit with you.
Phone a friend on FaceTime or have your partner come and sit with you. I wish I understood the science. I don't. But it just works time and time and time again. If you are struggling to write that email, to fold those socks, just say to someone, would you mind body doubling me, sitting with me whilst I do it? They can be getting on with their own thing. That presence, that grounding, that quiet accountability, it just helps.
I don't know where it comes from either, but I do know that it's really real. Like we were on someone else's podcast, Ben Branson, his name is, isn't
love
it?
Ben,
and he like, he's so boss, isn't he? Like he like founded Seedlip, sold it for whatever. I don't know. He's a rich, successful guy.
He's
amazing.
And
he was like, I run these companies, but I cannot do my emails unless my assistant is sitting in the room with me. I just can't do it. And he's just like come to accept it. So it's nothing to be shameful of.
The best people in the world, if they're neurodivergent, will also be using body doubling.
Definitely, yeah.
Why not use it? I find it beautiful whenever I log on. I use a lot of our Dubby Live sessions just to do normal things. And I find it so amazing. There's also like a shame reduction. If you're in a Zoom call with 100 people and you know they all struggle and we're all there supporting each other, I don't know, it just reduces shame.
Specifically, Dubby is built about the things that everyone has to do all the time. So like whether it's self-care, tidy in the living room, the kitchen, the washing. These are like never-ending things, isn't
it? It's for the never-ending basic tasks that aren't so basic. So big win for body doubling. Number four, we're going to gamify. We are going to make a competition.
Yeah. I mean, look, easiest way, if there's loads of clothes all over the floor that need to be put in the dirty washing basket, you would be all over it if I'm like, should we play a game, stand the other side of the room and throw items into it and let's see who wins.
Throw items. I want to go and do that now. That's how exciting. Can I throw the socks in and get it every time? That sounds amazing to me. And it's, again, it's like so silly, but like making it fun, making it novel, bring in some competition.
Yeah, or a race we could do as well.
I love a race.
Yeah.
I also think like a mission, sorry to bring it up again, but on our app, Dubby, we do all the live sessions, yes, but we also have a load of videos of us, instructional videos where we clean rooms in our house. And some of this was called Messy Mode. And it was me cleaning like the messiest bedroom and kitchen you've ever seen. And it took me an hour and a half and I was being filmed, so I couldn't stop and have a meltdown. And I remember we formulated it as like, I'm on a mission. I'm like Apollo Kitchen coming to save the population so people could then come and move into the kitchen. And I don't know why. I'm such a child. It helped.
Yeah.
To like missionify things, make them a competition.
Missionify.
I don't think it's...
I don't think that's a word.
That's okay. Yes. We can make it a word.
Fine. Fun. It is now.
Again, it can't be every day the thing is a competition because then they'll get bored. So mix it up, sprinkle in your hacks, but just have some fun. Number five, I've got it written down as treats and rewards.
That's exactly what it is. That's because that's what it is. Like whether it's chocolate or whether it's an activity, if I'm like, babe, if we get this done.
Is it not a bribe? I am bribed by Cadbury's cream eggs to do all manner of like basic adult tasks.
It works though. Let's
it works.
Relabel it to bribery then.
Bribery. I'm going in with bribery. So basically bribing your ADHDer, you know that they are desperately searching for dopamine and they can get it from chocolate, a water park, a trip to the cinema, a games afternoon, you painting resin with them, like loads of fun activities or chocolate treats, and they will work for it, like a little dog.
You do, yeah. Like a little dog.
It's like doggy training. Like
visualising Rocket looking up, if I do this, can I get a treat? Yeah, you can.
That's me. Doggy training. ADHD doggy training. What's your experience of bribery with me? Like, how does it work and how do you use it?
It always is usually actually more as if we've got like a day of filming, because you enjoy filming, but if it's like a full day, we're filming 5 or 6 videos or whatever, like you after about 3 start to lose the will to live, don't you?
That's
like you go, you have got no energy. Sometimes your brain confuses it with illness or whatever, or tiredness. You're like, I'm done. And then it'll be like, well, should we go here afterwards? We've got 2 more left as countdown, and then we
cinema.
Go here. Yeah, cinema. And then you perk up. So it's not tiredness, it's not real. Your brain is telling you that you're ill or you're tired or you're whatever, exhausted. You're not really. It's just your brain is like, I can't do this anymore.
That's dopamine though.
Yeah.
So I get through the first few videos, I run out of dopamine. I'm using it very non-scientific. I'm sorry, I'm probably getting it wrong, but I run out of all energy and it's like a mini burnout.
Yeah.
I have mini burnouts any day I try and do a lot of work or a lot of cleaning, mini burnout. And then that would be the day over. But if you inject a reward into the mini burnout.
Really important the timing though. You can't do it halfway through, because if you have your treat, no, you can dangle the carrot halfway through. You can make the bribe halfway through, but you can't give the reward halfway through, because you can't go from experiencing the dopamine to then have to do the work. Like you can't have a treat in the middle.
that's why I don't have credit cards.
Yeah.
You don't get to have the joy of overspending because it's the consequences are tough. And I'm an overcommitter and an overpromiser. So I'll be like, let me have the cream egg now. I promise I will clean the kitchen.
You won't. And yeah.
So I really believe that I will, but it's like learning to work with our brains. You only get the bribe. That's why it's better to see it as a bribe, because if it's a reward, oh, go on, just have it sooner. I promise I'll finish it. It's all the same thing. A bribe is a bit more serious.
Yeah.
You need to do the thing and then we'll do the exchange.
Yeah, I agree.
So it is bribery. And, you know, some people might listen to that and think, I don't want to have to bribe my partner to just be a normal adult human. Why is that on me?
Do you want it done or not? Like, I suppose that's the how important to you is the thing. Because a cream egg is a small sacrifice
for
a trip to the cinema. And most of the things you'll enjoy yourself. Like, I enjoy going to the cinema. I just don't need to go there to do the job that I'm supposed to be doing.
So try and pick a bribe that you might enjoy too.
Yeah.
I also love that. Like, do you want it done? We could sit here and argue all day about relationship dynamics and is it wrong? Is it right? Are you infantilizing? What's wrong with me? Why can't you just do it? We read those comments on the internet all the time. Do you want it done?
Yeah.
If so, buy them a cream.
If not, just carry on arguing. It's fine. You do you.
And that's the thing. These hacks have come from you figuring out how to actually get me
to do it.
To do it.
Rather than just layer on expectations of why can't you do it? You do it. It's not fair. We need to split it evenly, blah, blah, blah. We do need to split it evenly. Let's be creative about how we get there.
But I imagine your life is better since the hacks.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's more fun to hack and see it work than constantly come up against just a laid down lumpness going, I'll do it later.
I do still come across that sometimes, don't I?
The laid down lump saying I'll do it later. Yeah. And you can't always bribe.
No.
Like, it can't be like, I'll bribe you to get up and clean your teeth. I'll bribe you to get up and take
morning. No.
That's
why there's lots of different hacks though.
That's it. That's why there's loads of, talking about loads of different hacks. Number 6, jumping into the fantasy.
Oh, this is big for you. And this one doesn't really make sense to me, but it like works.
It
so you
really
explain it because
works. So I, and lots of ADHDers, will have loads of creative ideas. We know that ADHDers are very high on creativity and empathy. So we're talking about the creativity now. Coming up with wild and wacky ideas. Maybe it's things that you want to do in life, your life purpose. Maybe it's new hobbies. Maybe it's an activity that you want to do that day. And sometimes they might be good and other times they will be wild.
They're always good. They're just sometimes not practical.
They're sometimes not practical. Now, if I share a fantasy, so for example, if I wanted to turn Lily's room into a sort of theme park room and have her a slide coming out of her bed and like a popcorn machine all in the room.
Yeah.
I take so much joy planning the fantasy.
Yeah.
How would we do it? Can I research? Is there someone that could make a slide?
What will it look like?
What will it look like? Can I get some initial sketches up? Can I, you know, start costing it up? There is so much joy in the fantasy. Now, if you were like, don't waste your time on that. We're never doing that. I would double down and probably try and force it through. You're going to have a worse life.
Yeah. Well, and it'd be rejecting as well. It'd be a bit sad for you.
And it would be sad if there's something I'm super excited about. So what you do, we just call it jumping in the fantasy. Anytime I have a wild, wacky idea, and it might be changing Lily's room to a helter-skelter, or it might be starting a new business, you just jump in it with, what would it be called? What would the logo be like?
Yeah.
Oh, really? When would you launch it? I get all the high from imagining this new venture, and that's enough. Once I've had that enjoyment of the creativity, it very often just goes away.
And that, so it's important for timing, right? So this is when when they are in the fantasy. So when Roxy's like, oh my God, I've had this idea. What about we turn Lily's room into whatever, blah, 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 blah. At that point, it's like, oh, what would it look like? I can now sit opposite you and being like, that's obviously never going to happen. And you can level-headedly be like, yeah, obviously, lol. There's never going to be a slide from the loft out into the garden swimming pool for her and stuff. Yeah. Like she, but you can rationally think about it now. But it's when you're in the moment of that idea where the dopamine's running high, that is when the fantasy company is needed.
It's your body doubling a fantasy.
Yeah.
And that makes it so much more enjoyable. The reason why the partner or the parent or the friend wins in that situation is once they've had the dopamine hit of imagining, the idea will then often quieten down.
Sometimes it comes into fruition, like Late Bloomers podcast, like Dubby, like anything that we've done, like ADHD Love as a social media account. Like sometimes you'll jump in the fantasy and you'll think, actually, this is a really good idea. Let's do it.
Yeah. So if it is an idea that might have legs creatively or what you're going to do today, you can actually do it. But I think it's a really good way. It's like a love language for an ADHD, a jump in the fantasy with them, and they won't then feel rejected, and they will also not do it out of spite.
Yeah.
Because some of that will never work. Well, just watch me.
Yeah, big time.
Right, I've got two more to get through. However, I do just want to take a really quick break to tell you about something incredibly exciting. We have got our first sponsor of this podcast, and I am so excited to tell you it's Loop Earplugs. Actually, something that Rich and I use on a really regular basis.
All the time.
All the time. We have got our own website on Loop Earplugs that is going to give you 20% off our favorite products. And they include the Quiet range, which is what we use for getting to sleep. The Engage range, which is when we go out for dinner and I want to hear him, but not everybody else. And the Experience range, when I'm dragging him out to festivals and gigs. You use them all the time. So do I. And now we've got 20% off for our listeners.
All the time. I'm baffled how you remembered which loop does what. That was amazing.
Thanks so much. Check out the show notes for the link. Also, use the link in bio on our social profiles to get there, get your 20% off and turn the world down. Right, back into it for our last two ADHD hacks.
They better be good.
I think they are really good.
Okay.
Okay, so number seven is changing location.
What do you mean?
So I feel like every room has an amount of energy and focus time available in it. And when I'm in that room and I'm working, cleaning, writing the next book, whatever it is, I'm using up the energy resources of that room. And I can start to feel tired and I can start to feel muggy and a bit unclear. I've lost that hyperfocus. If I take my laptop or what I'm doing and go into a new room, I almost like up the energy bars again.
Right. That's the strangest thing. So like, I think it's important to know the difference between fact and reality versus somebody's reality. The brain is a powerful thing. So if that works, then it works. Who am I to argue with it?
I mean, I guess the reality would be novelty and new environment, maybe dopamine. You've got a drink on the way, you're sat somewhere new.
Yeah.
There'd be a way to ADHD pseudoscientific explain it, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say every room has an energy source. We use it up to move location. That could also mean going to work in a cafe, at a friend's house, sitting in the garden, like mix up your working environment.
Do you have to, like, I would imagine a risk for this one would be distraction. Like, if you're in the middle of something, if you stop, move room, there's a window there that is you're at risk of being distracted by something and derail you. Or
I feel like if you're sort of in hyperfocus, but you're just losing the edge, you could top up by moving rooms. Where's going to mess you up if you're like, oh, I'm going to find the best coffee shop with the quietest environment that's got lovely coffee, Wi-Fi. Yeah. You're then on a research project.
Traveling 3 hours to this coffee shop. Didn't you even see it one day? I was away or whatever. And like, you don't drive, you spent loads of money, or it was an idea,
yeah,
going to a cat cafe or something. That was real, wasn't it?
You never made it. We ended up going to the cinema because it wasn't open, but we did. We got a 50-minute taxi. So yeah, you've got to be careful with the location.
You
change.
Definitely do.
So like, maybe see it more like rooms.
Yeah, okay.
And
rooms.
Vibes. But like, if you're folding loads of laundry and like your back's aching and you just feel totally drained, walk into a new room, get it on the bed, absorb that new energy.
Love it. Okay.
Number 8. It's our final hack. It's the micro goal.
Okay. What is this like? Don't commit to tidy a whole room. Just maybe say, I'll do this surface, that sort of thing.
100%. So it's basically lying to yourself so you don't get overwhelmed. So it can be something as simple as, let's say if we're cleaning our bedroom, rather than saying, can we clean the whole bedroom now? You'll say, oh, could you just take those 2 mugs downstairs?
Yeah.
Sure. That feels like one tiny step. It's a micro goal. It's achievable. I'll get the mugs and then I'll be like, oh, might as well take that downstairs too.
I think this is important though. Like you say, it's lying to yourself. I'm not sure that it is, because when we were first together, tidying the bedroom meant something different to you than it meant for me. Mm-hmm. My tidy in the bedroom would be like, make the bed, take the clothes off the floor. Like it would actually take 10 minutes. You would be like, oh, the skirting board needs this. Oh, the cabinet in the bath and the ensuite needs doing. So I'm going to rearrange all of that. So it actually would turn into a 3-hour thing, because you don't know what tidying the whole bedroom means. So it's almost like redefining what it means as well.
It stops you. It stops the ADHD brain going to all or nothing.
Yeah.
And gives you some parameters to work on. And if it's just one tiny thing that you can do, example, if I'm massively overwhelmed by my email inbox and I'm thinking about starting a new email, which has
happened
10 times and how I tend to deal with it, could you just go on and delete today's junk or unsubscribe from today's junk? Sure. And sometimes you might just do that. But other times, for me, I start, I don't feel as bad as what I thought. I've achieved something, so I feel quite good. I might then carry on and actually sort something out.
This is crazy, right? Because there must be some science behind this, because it just made me think just then about when they say, like, if you want to go for a run, don't commit to going for a run because that's horrendous. Commit to putting your shoes on and getting out the door.
It's so interesting. Loads of these hacks work for normal humans. Humans without ADHD.
Yeah.
When it comes to maybe working out, eating really healthily, starting a business, we're just using that similar psychology for the basic tasks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the things that people without ADHD might not be struggling with.
Which is often taken away. You don't usually have access because they're all deemed to be like, well, you just should be able to do it, which is obviously not helpful.
Yeah, so most people wouldn't need a hack to just clean their teeth or like make the bed. That is apparently on autopilot.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. So yeah, that's it. What's your favourite hack out of those 8? What do you like use the most for me?
Oh, I think the lesser of two evils probably is my favourite one.
It's so good and it works every time. I've got to go with jumping into the fantasy. You've stopped me from starting loads of businesses and buying domain names and wasting money just from having that little half an hour chat.
Without saying, no, that's a terrible idea.
And without hurting my very sensitive feelings. So absolutely love it. We really hope that there's some hacks in here that have helped you. If you've got an ADHD hack that we haven't mentioned that works for you, please comment so we can all learn from your mastery. It's been a joy to have you here. This is the Late Bloomers podcast and we will see you.
We're going to go and have lunch first.
Are we?
Someone's got to cook it. Someone's got to lay the table. What do you think?
I know that you're hacking me, but my brain is immediately like, lay the table, lay the table.
Yeah.
And I now can't wait to go and lay the table so I can avoid cooking.
See you next week.